So up next, we're joined now by Joe Lombardo, a vigil and demonstration against United States intervention in Venezuela will take place this Saturday, February 23rd at noon at Wolf Road and Central Avenue. February 23rd has been designated as a global day of protest against U.S. intervention in Venezuela. Back with us is Joe Lombardo, who's a co-founder of Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace and co-chair of the United National Anti-War Coalition. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Now, most of our listeners are probably aware that the United States is hopefully trying to execute a coup d'etat against the elected leadership of Venezuela. But certainly there's a lot of propaganda out there that, you know, the head of Venezuela is really a dictator and not such a nice guy and not really committed to democracy. Can you just give us a quick overview of the situation in Venezuela?
Well, the present president of Venezuela is Nicolas Maduro. He was elected twice. Both times it was international observers. Jimmy Carter was one of the observers. And their election system has basically been understood to be one of the best in the world. An opposition candidate at any time can call for a recount. All parties are available for recount. It often is done publicly in some form so that anybody can observe and anybody can watch. And in the last election that Maduro was elected in, they had a higher percentage of their electorate voting than voted in our last national election. And we all know that in our last national election, the person who got the second highest vote total actually became president. That was Trump. But Maduro won by an overwhelming majority, close to 70%. It was something like 68%.
Didn't the opposition boycott or something, though?
Well, the opposition, there's several different figures in the opposition. Three of them ran against him. One of them, Guaido, started to run against him, but he was informed by the United States, we don't want you to run. And I think it was pretty clear why, because they thought he would lose, and that would not allow them to set up the situation that they've set up today. And that situation is that Juan Guaido declared himself president, clearly in consultation with the United States. Almost immediately, within hours, the United States recognized him as the legitimate president. Now, how the United States has any right to recognize anybody as a legitimate president of another country is a interesting question. And we always talked about on all the news media about Russian intervention into our elections and our internal affairs. None of that, of course, has been proven, but the question is, it is clearly above board the kind of intervention that we are doing into the internal affairs and the election of Venezuela. Because we don't like the Venezuelan government, because it wanted to use its oil resources, which have been nationalized, which means the U.S. oil companies can't get their hands on those profits, because we don't like that nationalization and the fact that he's using his money for the underclass, for the poor, for the blacks in Venezuela. We have had economic sanctions against them. We have used our influence within the world banking system to disallow them to refinance loans or even to get loans. The money that we hold of theirs for sales of their oil, which is done through Citgo oil company, we have not given to the country, and we are saying now we're going to give it to this rump person that we recognize, this Guaido, who nobody ever voted for. And so we've withheld that money. It comes to billions of dollars. Our allies are withholding resources of Venezuela in their banks. Britain is withholding $1.3 billion. Without the economic sanctions, without the pressures on the banks, without the political attacks, Venezuela might be doing pretty well. but we never will know, because the United States, if it doesn't like a government because it doesn't go along with the agenda of Washington and Wall Street, will put economic sanctions on and will squeeze the government and try to build oppositions. And they squeeze the government and put economic sanctions, so they hope that the population will turn against the government, and then a more favorable person can come into power that will turn over the oil resources to the Wall Street bankers and to our oil industry. And I think that's the real story of what's going on in Venezuela.
What are some of the racial and colonial, you know, rule issues that are at play in this situation?
Well, there's a large black population. It's always been an underclass, as it is here. And it's a mixed population, African Venezuelan, as well as the indigenous population mixed together in Venezuela. And they make up the majority of Venezuela. But there's also a European white population, and there's always been a divide between the two. And it's very interesting if you look at the different rallies that these two groups have. In the American media, you will never see a pro-Maduro rally. They'll only show the opposition rallies. But the pro-Maduro rallies, you can see them all over the internet, are largely people with dark skin. And the Maduro rallies are largely people with white skin. And sometimes they even boast about their wealth. They come out in suits, or women wearing high heels or something like that to show their status. And so this is an opposition which is primarily of the wealthy. And although they've had some demonstrations, and some have been large, and people are very discontent because the economic situation is terrible, and I think the bulk of that is caused by the United States and its economic sanctions. But because of that, there are some people that are discontent, just like the United States wanted to show. But all the opposition rallies have been in Caracas. And the pro-Maduro rallies have not only been in Caracas, larger rallies than the opposition in Caracas, but have been all over the country. And if you go to different sites, you can see the different cities where they've been holding the pro-Maduro rallies. So I think that's the situation, that in spite of this downturn, this terrible economic situation, also a lot caused by the decrease in the price of oil, which I think was done very purposefully to hurt Venezuela, Iran, and Russia, who have been enemies of the United States. Because of that, they have also had a difficult time economically.
Now, of course, it is the role of Congress to declare war, not the president. So I'm sort of curious, what are the Democrats doing with their control of the House of Representatives to oppose the coup? Or are they supporting it?
They're supporting it. I mean, there's a few that don't. Tulsi Gabbard, who has had some pretty good positions, one of the few in Congress that has been opposing some of the U.S. wars. She opposed the war in Syria. She herself is an Iraq veteran, and she's opposing the coup. But most of them either say nothing or support the administration's policies. So there is no real Democratic Party opposition to this, and it's why we have to be out on the streets on Saturday and into the future.
Well, could you describe what's going to take place? So it's going to be at noon at Wolf and Central Avenue. I guess that's outside Colony Center. You know, both, you know, how the logistics of the event, you know, exactly where, and people bring signs and stuff, and then also what are the sort of the political demands of the event?
Well, the basic plans are hands off Venezuela, no coup, no sanctions, no war, because there's a real threat of war right now. There's this idea that they're going to bring across some aid from Colombia into Venezuela. Trump announced yesterday at a very bellicose speech he made in Florida that they've sent a plane full of aid down there. A plane full of aid means absolutely nothing. And the aid he has done is minuscule compared to the aid that is getting into the country from Russia and China, for instance. But So there's a real threat of war because he's going to try to push this aid in probably on Saturday, the date of these demonstrations, because that's when they said they're going to bring it in, through a military-enforced corridor where there will be military that will try to force the aid into Venezuela. You might remember during the recent hurricanes, Venezuela offered to aid the United States. They offered to give us oil and generators to get electricity up in New Orleans and in Houston, and we said no. But now they don't like the fact, the U.S. doesn't like the fact that they are saying no to our aid because they understand it's not really aid, but it's a military operation. So anyway, the demonstration will take place. It will be a vigil and rally. There'll probably be a couple of speakers, but it'll be mostly spontaneous. People should bring signs. It will be at noon at Wolf Road and Central Avenue, where there's a big intersection, and we hope to be very visible there. And we are one of about 100 that are taking place around the United States and many, many others throughout the world that will be taking place on that day. And it could be a very a dangerous time for Venezuela. There could be on that very day an attack. There's other actions that are being planned into the future. An important one will be on March 30th because NATO is coming to D.C. and there'll be a national rally in D.C. on the 30th. And people could find out about both of these rallies from a national perspective by going to the best place to go to is the UNAC site, and you can read about all of these and go find out the specific sites to go to. And that site is unacpeace.org, UNACPEACE.org.